And I want to welcome you to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week in November. This is the second full week of November, third week of November, but second full week. And this podcast is posted on November the 9th, 2024. On the podcast today, we're going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 9 as we study some of these names of the people and places involved in the story of Mephibosheth. We've been looking at Mephibosheth. We're going to look again some more at Mephibosheth. Here, one of the key acts of the life of David is his kindness towards Mephibosheth. And that's something that we as Christians should look upon. We're going to talk about that over the next several weeks, because Mephibosheth is a very, very good type of the redeemed sinner. And we will be talking about that in the next few weeks. 2 Samuel chapter number 9. We're going to read a little bit here again, beginning reading with verse number 1. 2 Samuel 9:1, the Bible says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, thy servant." All right. Now, there are a lot of interesting things in this passage. As we said, Mephibosheth, as a type of the redeemed, is there. There's other things. But today, I'd like to take some look at some names. Let's look at some names. And we're going to go in the order. We've already talked about David and Jonathan. But we're going to look in order at the other names mentioned here and see who's who and what their roles are by their names. The very first role that we find here is the role of Ziba. Ziba is the servant of Saul. And Ziba means a plantation or strength. Now, a plantation is a place where you would expect to find a lot of plants. That's what a plantation is. It's where you plant things. The old antebellum pre-Civil War South was full of plantations in the Deep South. Now, not around here. This area is not ideal for plantations, but plantations were very common in the Deep South along the coast. And in those plantations, there would be vast fields, and those fields would grow something. And prior to the Civil War, these plantations, these vast farms, huge farms, a plantation is to a regular farm as a Western ranch is to a set of horse stables. They're huge. Plantations are huge. And Ziba's name means plantation or strength. Now, you would expect to find plants in abundance at a plantation. And this will become important here in just a minute when we look at one of the other words, one of the place names here that we're looking at. So, Ziba, or Ziba, I've heard it pronounced both ways. Ziba comes to David. He's summoned to David. And, you know, there must have been some nervousness involved as Ziba comes to David. He's a servant of Saul. and David has defeated Saul. David did not take Saul's life, but David was the son-in-law of the king, and so Ziba probably had some anxiety as he went to see the king, but you did not ignore a king's summons. And he came to the king, and the king said, is there a descendant of Saul left that I can show the kindness of God to? And in the worldly eyes, that could mean more than one thing. In the world's eyes, it wasn't kindness. It was, I'm going to eliminate the opposition. If there's any descendant, male descendant of Saul left, I'm going to get rid of him. It would be the worldly way of looking at that expression. But David had a pure heart about it. He really did. He had a covenant with Jonathan, and that covenant was only going to be fulfilled if David elevated his enemy's grandson to a position. Of course, the world also says, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And, you know, the world would look at that and say, yeah, David had ulterior motives in having Mephibosheth right there. It was so he could keep his eye on him. I'm not so sure about that based on later events. I'm not sure about that at all. I think David had the purest of intents. But it's so easy to read worldly things into what is otherwise pure intent. And so Ziba comes, and his name means plantation. And he says, is there not any descendant of Saul left, any descendant of Jonathan left of Saul's house, that I can shew them kindness? And Ziba does not even mention his name. He says, Jonathan hath a son who is lame. Now, just a few chapters previous, we looked at the conquest of Jerusalem. And in the conquest of Jerusalem, David makes a statement that he hates the blind and the lame. Now, he's talking about idols. We studied that a little while back. He's talking about idols. He's not talking about people necessarily. But because the Jebusites said, if you're going to come hither, you got to take the blind and the lame, thinking David could not come thither. And then later David says he hates the blind and the lame. Now, it would be real easy for people to get that and take it out of context. And so Ziba very specifically mentions he's lame. He's lame. Now, that means he can't walk on his own. He has to be brought. And so David says, fetch him. He says, where is he? And he says, first, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Now, there's some things here to these names. There's some really interesting meanings behind these names. So starting out, let's look at Machir. Machir has a dual meaning, like most names do. The dual meaning, one is a verb, a past tense verb, and the other is a noun that produces that past tense verb. The past tense verb is sold. Make here means sold. That is something that is sold, is past tense. It used to be someone else's possession, and now it is the buyer's possession. You know, I think about people who lose storage units. If they've got things in storage and something happens and they're not able to get the material out of storage, or they're not able to keep up with their storage locker rent, those storage lockers are sold at auction. And those auctions can get pretty competitive. But then going through the auctioned items, you're going through someone else's personal effects. And it can be pretty heartrending at times to think about people going through your effects, because it's sold. Once something is sold, that means it no longer belongs to the original owner, unless it was stolen. You know, the law recognizes that if something is stolen and then it's sold to someone else, then the person who bought it is out that money and it still belongs to the person it was stolen from. Unfortunately, I have experienced that from both sides of the equation. I have had things stolen from me before that were never recovered and that were likely sold at a flea market or something. And I have unknowingly bought property that was previously stolen. Now, you talk about a bad feeling. That is a bad feeling to realize you've purchased stolen property and you're out the money. You are. It's the person who bought it. You're out the money because you're not very likely to get it from the person you bought it from, if you can even get the person you bought it from. Yeah, unfortunately, I have experienced that side of it, and I lost what I bought and lost the money of what I purchased. And it was a learning experience about watching out for deals that are too good to be true. But to be sold means that ownership transfers. Who is the person who enables this ownership transfer? Well, that is a salesman. And make here also means salesman. Makes the sale. So it can be sold or salesman is the word make here. Now, it's an interesting word. It's an interesting name. But make here is the son of Amiel. Now, Amiel is a really interesting name as well. It means an ally or kinsman of God. Now, ally can mean, it can be a verb or a noun. To ally yourself with someone is to make someone your friend and help out that person. If you have an ally, a friend. An ally is a little bit different from a friend. An ally pledges to help. An alliance means I've got an agreement that I'm going to help you. I'm going to be on your side. That's what an ally is. And to ally yourself to someone means you are promising them that you're going to be on their side. So it's both a verb and a noun. And make here, or Amiel rather, is an ally and ends up being a great ally of David. And we're going to find out how that alliance was probably broken in the future. Then we have the place name, and that is Lodebar. Now, Lodebar is the place of no pasture. No pasture, no food. No bread. It's a desolate place. It's the opposite of a plantation. Okay? So Zeba is plantation. Lodebar is the opposite. No pasture. I don't know why it's that way, but it's a place where maybe there's a bunch of salt. You know, salt is plentiful in that region of the world. That's why you have the Dead Sea, the saltiest body of water on the earth is the Dead Sea, and that salt has to come from somewhere, and it comes down from the rocks. And maybe the place around Lodebar was very salty, and salt will not allow things to grow. Using salt plus detergent, like a dishwashing liquid, and dissolve the salt in water and then put dishwashing liquid in it. The dishwashing liquid is to have the water where it will wet the plants and wet the soil, and then the salt is there to kill. And it can kill the soil and kill the plants. It gets too salty. Well, perhaps that was a problem with Lodebar. There's also a lot of earthquake and volcanic activity in that area of the world. There's almost constant tremors. And The Sea of Galilee is in the caldera of a dormant volcano. is probably what the Sea of Galilee is built in, is a caldera or a big crater of a dormant volcano. That occurs quite plentifully in that area. Now let's talk about the geography. Where is Lodabar? Lodabar is on the other side of the Jordan, number one. It is in Gilead. It is near Mahanaim and other areas that are, is where Saul, and well, not Saul, but where Saul's son Ishbosheth set up his government, was in Mahanaim. Now, Mahanaim comes from the event that Jacob saw as he is coming back from Haran and coming back to the land of Canaan. Jacob sees the host of heaven, and he calls the place Mahanaim. And so Mahanaim, the place where the host of heaven was seen by Jacob, that is where Ishbosheth set up his capital. Saul had had his capital at Gibeah, which was where he was from. Gibeah is next door to Jerusalem, so that really would not work for Ishbosheth. It's real close to Hebron, too, and that's where David was when Ishbosheth reigned. David did not reign in Jerusalem until Ishbosheth was already dead. But for several years, Mephibosheth has lived in Lodabar, and the place of no pasture. The place of no pasture. A desolate place. And he's not able to take care of himself. Somebody has to take care of him. And Machir, sold or salesman, the son of Amiel, ally or kinsman of God, is the one who takes care of him. That's where he's at. And so Amiel is at that point an ally of Saul's family, taking care of Mephibosheth. And perhaps it is the kindness shown to Mephibosheth that causes Amiel to become an ally of David, perhaps. Because Amiel does eventually become an ally of David. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the near future. It's just a few chapters from now. We're going to cover this Amiel very, very thoroughly. And it's probably the same Amiel. Maybe. We'll see. We'll look at it. In any case, we now have the last name. Now, the name Mephibosheth is not mentioned until he gets there. And he's introduced by Ziba as this is Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth then bows or falls on his face before the king. And I don't know how that worked. I mean, he was lame on both his feet. He couldn't really walk. Maybe he was in a wheelchair, and maybe he pushed himself out of the wheelchair and got on his feet or got on his face before David. He couldn't walk. He was lame on both of his feet. Don't know exactly what it was that happened, but he was lame on both of his feet is what the Bible says, and we'll just leave that as it is. He's somewhere around 20, and he was 5 years old when Saul and Jonathan died. We already went over that, so it's been 15 years. So David has been in Jerusalem 8 years, give or take. It had to be more than 8 years. He's been in Jerusalem at least 8 years for Mephibosheth to already have a young son, Micah. And so here comes Mephibosheth. Now, Mephibosheth has a really interesting name as well. His name means utterance of Baal or destroying shame. I like the second one better, but let's talk about the first one first. Utterance of Baal. Mephibosheth was born 5 years before Jonathan died. We talked about the ages, but let's mention it again, that Jonathan was well on 60 years old when he died, so he would have had to have been 55 or so, at least 55 or so, when Mephibosheth was born. So Jonathan was fairly old. Don't know why he named Mephibosheth, also known as Meribbaal. Why he named him that. But Saul had a son who was much younger than Jonathan, and his name was Ishbaal or Ishbosheth. Same name, different spelling, same name. And so, and Saul had a son named Mephibosheth. And so Jonathan took this name. Don't know why. Don't know the history behind the situation. Maybe it was something that Jonathan wanted to remind people that Saul, his father, was following the wrong Lord. See, Baal means Lord. As the word Baal means Lord. So that, and there were multiple Baals. There wasn't just a single Baal. There was a great Baal, the Phoenician god Melkart, was the big Baal, but there were a lot of little Baals. Every tree and every holler and every field and every stream had its own little Lord and its own spirit associated with it. It's earth worship is what it is. Naturism, paganism is the word that's used. A true pagan worships the creature rather than the creator. And that's what they believe. They believe that there's a spirit in each tree. That's where the phrase knock on wood comes from. Is your knock on wood means you're symbolically looking to the spirit of that tree, the Lord of that tree, the Baal of that tree. And so the worship of Baal was a worship of many little lords. And then during the time of Ahab, under Jezebel's influence, the Phoenician Melkart, Melkart, or Melkart, either one can be used to spell it, Melkart. Baal Melkart was the great Baal that Elijah went up against the worshipers of that Baal. But prior to that, the Canaanite religion was a pagan religion, and it was a religion of the forests and the trees and the meadows and the rocks and the dry stream beds, the wadis, that during a rain would become a stream and then they would dry up, much like the dry lake beds in the southwest United States. Those lake beds are there, and in a rain, they'll actually have water in them, but then they'll dry up, and they dry up pretty frequently. In the wadis, dry creek beds of the Middle East are that way, and there were Baals of each and every one of those. And by worshiping all of those and making sure that they worship the whole host of heaven, you'll find that expression in several places in the Word of God. They worship the host of heaven. And by worshiping this, they believe that they're placating the earth itself. And they believe that by worshiping these little lords, then they can have fertility. And so maybe, perhaps, Jonathan and his wife picked this name, Utterance of Baal, as a statement of the ritual that they had performed prior to Jonathan's wife becoming expecting, prior to the conception of Mephibosheth. But then the other meaning of his name, destroying shame, there's many other things that destroying shame could mean. Either it could be the shame that destroys, or he who destroys shame. Don't you know it was shameful for Jonathan to not have a son? He didn't have a son, and that was a shameful thing. And Mephibosheth's birth destroyed that shame. It did. It did. And then that goes to the type of Mephibosheth as the redeemed Christian, as the redeemed sinner, destroying shame. There's so much more that we could talk about with Mephibosheth's name like that, destroying shame. We could go into a lot of detail, but time has gotten away from us. I want to thank you for listening to the I Want to Know More podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And join us again next time for the I Want to Know More podcast.